The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, Licensed Nutrition Counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining us today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
And I just want to remind our listeners about the upcoming Breast Cancer Prevention Online Conference, and it's free. And if you didn't have a chance to listen to yesterday's program, we had Dr. Alexander Mostovoy on. He's the creator, as he likes to be called, of this program with about 17, 18 healthcare specialists talking about how to prevent breast cancer. And we put a link on our website, naturaldocradio.com, that you can go to. Just click on the link. It'll bring you to the page where you can register for the conference. It's scheduled for May 15th through the 20th. And I recommend that if you have a chance, you should try and listen to it. 18 global leaders on cancer studies, research, and prevention. And it should be very interesting. Next, Janet, what we try to do with this program is alert the healthcare consumer about ways to stay healthy and improve their health. And I was thinking about that. Does mainstream medicine do any of that? No, it seems to me that the majority of their efforts are designed to see what drugs they can put people on.
Seems like I'm in agreement with you, Dr. Slavin.
And I'll back that up. I came across a report yesterday. The headline was, "Low levels of arsenic may decrease head circumference at birth, according to Dartmouth studies." Well,
wow.
When I read that, I said, head circumference? It reminded me of Zika virus right away. And I'm just wondering if perhaps the cause of the microcephaly we're seeing associated with the Zika virus might be from exposure to arsenic, because that's one of the main ingredients used in insecticides. Just an interesting thing. And then in this report, they say that more than 40 million Americans drink water from private wells. According to the U.S. Geological Survey, up to 3 million of those private wells have arsenic levels that exceed EPA limits. So that's something to be concerned about. And arsenic isn't just found in water. It can be found in food, most notably rice. But if you recall, it could be found in apple juice. And a lot of the products that come from China. I think we have to be alert to that fact. Janet, in the stores, the grocery stores, do they always indicate the source of the food that they're selling?
Unfortunately, no. Very frequently, you can search and search and search and not see the point of origin, either where the product is grown or where it's packaged. So it used to be something that was very commonly found on food labels, but now it's less frequently available.
So one of the foods also is tilapia. I think the number was maybe as much as 50% of the tilapia comes from China.
I'm going to say a lot of the tilapia is from Southeast Asia, possibly China. and farm-raised. And when you do a little bit of investigating about the conditions in which they're raised, not very appealing.
All right, so you pay attention. Now, there's another reason not to eat tilapia, because it's a farm-raised fish. So if that wasn't reason enough, check the source of the food that you're eating, and it's not just tilapia. It's everything. Now, getting back to arsenic, so when I saw that one article, I Googled it, and there was another article about it, arsenic in New England well water tied to bladder cancer risk. Now, how often have we not spoken about bladder cancer? It's believe it or not, it's more prevalent than Zika virus. Zika gets the headlines. About 77,000 new cases of bladder cancer will be diagnosed this year in 2016. And it's expected that about 16,400 of those people will die from it. Now, are we saying that arsenic is the only cause of bladder cancer? No, it's just one of the causes. But the interesting thing is, they say, well, check your water supply to see if there's arsenic in it. And I think that's a, not the best approach. I would say check your body to see if there's arsenic in it. You know, the water's not getting bladder cancer.
Dr. Slavin, lots of people are going to say, okay, well, I can get a water test kit, but how am I supposed to find out what about the levels of arsenic in my body?
Well, I think that's the important point, because the amount of arsenic in water can fluctuate. So the day you test it, it might be okay, and the next day it could be high. What's really important is how much arsenic has your body been exposed to over the years, and it's going to accumulate over time. And it's not just arsenic. You know, recently you had lead being a problem. Mercury has always been a problem. All these heavy metals clearly have consequences. And like I said, if mainstream medicine was interested in your health, they would be testing your bodies for the presence of all these heavy metals. Instead, they disregard that as a possibility and just hand out drugs. Give you an example. And this is from the American Public Health Association. Inorganic arsenic is naturally occurring in groundwater throughout the United States. This study investigated arsenic exposure and self-reported of 9 chronic diseases. In other words, it's not just bladder cancer you have to be concerned about. So they received private well water samples and questionnaires from 1,185 people who reported drinking their water for 20 or more years. Respondents with arsenic levels of 2 micrograms per liter or greater were statistically more likely to report a history of, now here are the other conditions associated with arsenic: depression, high blood pressure, circulatory problems, bypass surgery. And this is what with just 2 micrograms per liter in their water. So I would think that it would be prudent to test for heavy metals. It's out there. When was the last time your doctor tested you for heavy metals? And then if they do, the problem is they're going to do a blood test. And a blood test is the wrong test. These heavy metals don't stay circulating in the blood. They get deposited in the tissues of your body.
Dr. Slavin, would a lot of these heavy metals be found in fat accumulations in the body, or are they stored in all different locations?
Well, they're stored in various organs of the body predominantly, but also the fat is going to be a place. And that's why if you do a test, it has to be a provocative test, meaning you have to give a chelating agent to dislodge these heavy metals from their tissue depots. And then you collect urine, because then the body will excrete it in the urine, and you can determine whether or not these heavy metals are in your body. They should not be in your body, period. So despite the fact that they give what they consider normal ranges, and normal is the wrong term to use, of course, they're average ranges. That means the average population has been exposed to all these heavy metals, because we test people routinely and we see the presence of mercury, lead, arsenic, and cadmium. You know, sometimes they're extremely high, but, you know, those heavy metals, but they're certainly present in a high percentage of the people we test.
Dr. Slavin, is it necessary to have a prescription in order to have heavy metals tested?
Actually, this test, you don't need a prescription. You know, here's the thing. You need a prescription if you want insurance to cover the test. Insurance doesn't cover this test. Are you shocked by that? You know, it's interesting when you see all the things that insurance doesn't cover, it always seems to be the things that could make people healthy as opposed to finding the presence of disease. You know, I like to say to patients, we do testing not just to look for disease, but to look for health, or look for things that will undermine your health before there's a indication to use a drug. So what's the treatment for heavy metal toxicity? You know, you have to remove those heavy metals from the body.
Dr. Slavin, what would some of the symptoms or possibly diagnoses be if someone had a heavy metal elevation in their bodies?
Well, we just mentioned some of them, you know, depression, hypertension, cardiovascular disease. In my opinion, any condition you have that's not getting better on its own, you need to check to see if heavy metal toxicity is not a contributing factor to your body's inability to recover from that condition. It's an impediment to healing. And, of course, cancer also falls in that list. Anybody with cancer, and I know the oncologists never check for heavy metals. They just want to pump in that chemotherapy. But what would be the
What about osteoporosis? Is there any relationship with an accumulation of a toxic metal and the development of osteoporosis?
One of the things I find routinely is whenever we find low levels of magnesium, because we check for that too, we'll do an intracellular test for magnesium. At the same time, we do a urine test for magnesium. And the reason for that is if your levels of magnesium are low, you'd expect to find very little magnesium in the urine. And yet, oftentimes, we'll find the body is not conserving magnesium, which to me is an indication that there are other heavy metals competing with the receptors for these metals, and the body is unable to conserve magnesium because it's been tricked by the heavy metals. So if you see low magnesium, you should look for heavy metals as one of the possible reasons why the body isn't holding on to it.
What about if someone has been exposed to lead?
Okay, well, lead is, these heavy metals are going to displace not just magnesium, but calcium. They're going to interfere with your body's ability to utilize these minerals, the nutrient minerals. So when we test for heavy metals, lead is one of the metals we test for, lead, arsenic, cadmium, mercury, among a long list of other toxic minerals. Janet, we have to take a break. I hear some music in the background. When we come back, we're going to talk about the leading infectious disease killer in the United States. And I don't think you'll guess what that is. But this will give you time to look it up while we're on the break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And we'll be back right after this.
Hi, I'm Janice Cimarelli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-4991, to learn all about the services offered at the Institute. Services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com to learn more.
Janet Cimarelli is the licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through her remote counseling sessions, she works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at janetcimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. So before the break, I said we're going to talk about the leading infectious disease killer in the United States. So Janet, did you have a chance to figure that out?
Okay, I don't have the capacity to look it up right now, but what I'm going to say, okay, so it's infectious disease, and something like pneumonia or, you know, some kind of respiratory disease, I don't know.
No, believe it or not, it's hepatitis C.
Wow.
Has, you know, imagine that, about 20,000 hepatitis C-related deaths in 2014, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And, you know, I'm not sure why that is, because it is an easy disease to detect with testing. I think part of the problem is that sometimes you won't have any symptoms from it. And a lot of times if people, I guess this is part of the problem. If you feel good, people assume you're not sick. And sometimes you can have normal liver enzymes and still have hepatitis C in your body. So I think the key is to get that hepatitis panel, in addition to your chemistry panel, to assure that you're, you know, you don't have hepatitis C. Now, hepatitis C can be contracted in a lot of different ways, and I think that's part of the problem as well. And the people, like they say here, the baby boomers are at greatest risk for hepatitis C. Now, the baby boomers are those born between the years 1945 and 1965. So that would, I guess that would pretty much encompass all of our listeners. Janet, you there?
I am here, Dr. Slavin.
And yes. You hear that noise, that talking in the background?
I am
I did something
surprised
here.
With regard to the hepatitis C information. However, I think that what the doctors, the mainstream medical community has to offer to those individuals who may have been diagnosed with hepatitis C, so many people would say the potential for success with that treatment is sketchy, and the side effects associated with that treatment are very significant. So might that be a reason why there are so many deaths, or is it that people are going undiagnosed?
I think part of it is they're going undiagnosed, and they really, despite what they say, they don't really have good treatments for hepatitis C. And here's what some of the symptoms might be, and this is the problem, too, is general fatigue, very vague, feeling out of sorts, maybe mild depression, feeling like your brain isn't working that well. Or a lot of times people will say, well, I just feel like I'm getting older. And the only way to know if that's the cause, and you know the interesting thing here, it's not just for hepatitis C. In other words, the only way to know that you're infected with hepatitis C is to get infected. The only way to know if you're infected with anything is to get tested. Unfortunately, we don't have the tests for every possible infection that we could be exposed to. And I think that, you know, that's the problem. Now, they say in 1989 and before, this blood-borne virus was readily transmitted through blood transfusion. So a lot of people, if they had a blood transfusion, they were possibly exposed to it. That's because they didn't label it hepatitis C. You used to have hepatitis A, hepatitis B, and then the next type of hepatitis was non-A, non-B because they hadn't figured out how to describe it. And then they weren't testing for it in the blood of, you know, in transfusions. And then they started. So you would get it through, you know, dirty needles. And so dirty needles, blood transfusions would be the major reason. And you'll either develop chronic liver infections or chronic liver disease. And that could increase the risk of developing liver cancer. Now, they do have a, there's not a vaccine for hepatitis C. They have one for hepatitis B. But they say, you know, they say, well, if you want to prevent hepatitis C, don't use dirty needles. Well, but they do have antivirals, which I'm not sure work that well. And it just makes, you know, every time I read a story like this, you talk about the Zika virus, now we're talking about hepatitis C. And we mentioned earlier that this has now surpassed all other infectious diseases as a cause of death. And I'm looking for that number. They say here it surpassed the total combined number of computer is giving me a little
very important for people to understand that it is possible to have testing done at advanced medical testing centers, and with advanced medical testing centers you can find out a lot of the details about situations notable in your blood that will give you the kind of heads up way before some symptoms begin to appear. And with that forward thinking information, you're able to adjust your diet for things that might be suppressing your immune system's ability to address that particular issue. The other thing, you were talking, Dr. Slavin, about hepatitis C. There is some anecdotal information that very high doses of olive leaf extract can be very helpful to reduce the viral antibodies that are visible in a blood test. The other thing is it's possible that those antibodies can be reduced to what is referred to as non-detectable. So they may still be there, and what that non-detectable means is that your immune system has been able to address this virus and keep it under control. So in addition to things like olive leaf extract, one of the approaches that you could use would be vitamin C flush. Very, very successful at controlling viral particles within the blood. The other thing that's available at the Institute of Advanced Medicine would be intravenous vitamin C, and the approach that is one of my all-time favorite go-to therapies, and that is the ultraviolet blood irradiation treatment. And you not only take care of the identified pathogen that you may have recently discovered in blood tests, but you would also be able to minimize the circulation, the possibility that there would be bacteria, any number of different types of bacteria, that there would be any kind of fungus, that there would be any parasites. So in addition to very specifically being able to address the hepatitis C virus, there's a whole range of other pathogens that are vulnerable to that treatment.
How's well, Janet, computer, the CDC has said that the number of hepatitis C-related deaths surpassed the total combined number of deaths from 60 other infectious diseases reported to the CDC, and those include HIV and tuberculosis. So you mentioned the ultraviolet blood treatment. It is effective against viral infections, against bacterial infections, against yeast and other fungi. For example, some of the viral infections it's effective against: hepatitis, HIV, influenza, herpes, and both types of herpes, simplex and zoster, mononucleosis, mumps, measles, viral pneumonia, polio. And I think I just went through a few familiar names that they have vaccines for. And this is why this approach has taken a back seat, because they rather vaccinate people or use antibiotics, which don't work, of course, for viral infections, then use a treatment with no side effects like this. Now, some of the bacterial infections it's effective against: pneumonia, wound infections, septicemia caused by staph, strep, or pneumococcus, lymphatic infections, peritonitis, severe acne, recurrent skin infections like, folliculitis, furunculosis, carbunculosis, those are just infections of the hair follicles, E. coli, people who have chronic respiratory conditions. There's always an underlying infectious component like COPD, anemia, emphysema, asthma, emphysema, sinusitis, bronchitis. This treatment works because it stimulates the body's own immune system. Janet, we talked about doing a seminar where we'll explain this to whoever attends. What was the date we had planned for? Do you remember?
I believe it is the 11th of June.
Okay, we'll check on that date, but we're planning around June 11th. This is going to be a Saturday morning, right?
Right.
Yeah. On a Saturday morning, so, going into this treatment, and part of the reason is we have a new ultraviolet device where you don't have to take blood out of the person. Now we just insert a little a light source for the ultraviolet rays, but it also combines red light and green light, which also has other healing factors and helps improve circulation. So now you have a combination of treatments where the light is delivered to the blood instead of the blood being delivered to the light. But now it's time for a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Tune in to Natural Doc Radio each weekday morning, 10 a.m., right here on this station, sponsored by Advanced Medical Testing Centers.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care, reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world. That allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard just west of the Florida Turnpike or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991 to learn more. 954-748-4991.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And we're talking about hepatitis, how that's become the leading cause of death among infectious diseases, hepatitis C, that is. And now I want to go on to the third leading cause of death in the United States. And it doesn't get... any attention because the CDC doesn't track this particular cause of death. Janet, can you guess what I'm talking about?
No, I have no idea, Dr.
Okay. Third leading cause of death in the United States, medical errors.
Ah, okay. Before we go on to medical errors, I have one more question with regard to the ultraviolet blood treatment. You mentioned many different bacteria. I'm wondering about H. pylori.
Yeah, H. pylori. Basically, any bacteria in the body is going to be susceptible to the ultraviolet light therapy.
So people who are dealing with very irritated upper digestive system tissue, possibly have been diagnosed with ulcers, certainly if they've been diagnosed as having the presence of H. pylori, ultraviolet, very, very reasonable approach to overcoming that bacteria.
But I think too much attention has been focused on H. pylori without enough attention being focused on other possible causes of digestive problems. A lot of times we'll see someone with a positive H. pylori with absolutely no symptoms. And then if someone does have symptoms with a positive H. pylori, you say, oh, it's the H. pylori causing it. You treat the H. pylori and the symptoms don't go away because that wasn't the real cause of the problem they had. I think you have to look at lectins in their diet. Can be a possible cause. So it's not just H. pylori, but that's the approach again. The mainstream medicine model is look for things to sell drugs for. So H. pylori, and you have the triple therapy with various drugs, and people get treated for it to their own detriment because it disrupts the whole microbiome in their body, their digestive tract, and all the friendly bacteria get affected by those treatments. So I think people need to be think a little bit more about what they're doing. This shotgun approach to illness is not working, and I say that only because the shotgun ammunition is antibiotics, and what they're missing is the fact that the U.S. ranks 34th in longevity in the world. That's why I say it doesn't seem to be working. Just to give a little bit more understanding about the ultraviolet light therapies, it enhances the immune system, increases the blood oxygen level. It can be used as an adjunctive treatment for cancer. It improves the antioxidants in your body and neutralizes free radicals. It improves the body's ability to circulate blood, which is very important. So those, I mean, when we give the seminar, we'll be able to go into all these things with more detail. And just one last thing before we get to the number three killer in the United States. We mentioned tilapia. It's a white fish that's sold in the U.S. 80% of tilapia sold in the U.S. comes from China. So that's something to consider. Cod, another popular white fish in the U.S., about 50% of cod consumed in America comes from China.
Wow, apple juice, that's eye-opening.
Yeah, apple juice. About half of all apple juice sold in the U.S. comes from China.
It's interesting because I very recently had an opportunity to look at some very small snack size little juice containers, and they were brand names that everyone would recognize, and it all came from China. It was apple juice, cranberry juice, and orange juice.
Chinese farmers are known to use harmful herbicides on the food they grow, and this even includes herbicides that the government has banned. So their recommendation is buy apples locally grown and make your own apple juice. Now, here's another one you wouldn't have thought about. More than a third of the processed mushrooms sitting on grocery shelves in the U.S., 34% come from China. And just like apples, they're grown with unsafe pesticides to be safe, buy local organic mushrooms. And I think that's a lot of times they always say buy local, and I think the reason for that is so much of what you're getting on the shelves in stores may be coming from out of the country, including China. How about this, Janet? 31% of garlic in America comes from China.
I think that we as consumers of foods that we're choosing for health support need to pay attention to the sources of these foods.
Now, and I'm not sure why they allow this, but in 2013, the U.S. Department of Agriculture approved the sale of Chinese chicken in the U.S.
Wow.
And, of course, the same thing applies to the fish. The manner in which these Chinese chickens are fed is highly questionable. But you don't know where the chicken's coming from. And here's one of the staples of food in China, but actually around the world, is rice. It's a staple in Asia. And would you imagine that there's such a thing as fake rice? What they've done is they've mixed potatoes combined with synthetic resin and making this fake rice, that's a lot cheaper than the real thing. So
is
we got to be careful
kind of
about
like
everything.
Like the Chinese dog food of a number of years ago, where they were adding some artificial ingredient. I'm thinking it was some sort of ceramic, something that was very, very loosely defined as a protein, and they were adding it to the dog food, and it killed hundreds of dogs until people figured out what it was. It was dog food coming from China. And certainly if we know that we can't use dog food from China, we certainly should not be using foods for our own personal consumption from China.
All right. Now to the number three leading cause of death in this country. It's medical errors. And this comes out of Johns Hopkins University, and they researched data over the last 8 years, and they concluded that 250,000 people die each year due to medical errors. Now, the problem is the CDC doesn't track such data. So therefore, you don't see it on their list of causes of death. But if they tracked it, it would fit into slot number 3 after heart disease and cancer. So,
very interesting that they choose not to track that information and not to share it with the citizens that they are supposedly watching out for their well-being. It's kind of interesting as well, that initial topic that we discussed, that here are so many deaths being attributed to hepatitis C, and I don't recall seeing anything along those lines meant to enlighten people about risks of or being exposed to that virus, and that virus then ultimately being a significant cause of death. So we have government agencies watching out for us? I don't think so. They're not really watching out for the well-being of the citizens, certainly not watching out for quality of foods and quality of medical practice.
Okay, so back in 2013, they looked at all the hospital admissions. There were about 35 million hospitalizations, and they were able to determine that about 251,000 deaths stem from medical errors. And I think that's probably an underestimate, because there are a lot of things that probably would never be mentioned. For example, a patient goes into the hospital with a low oxygen saturation. It's totally ignored. And they die from a pulmonary embolism that was missed. So a lot of times I think they look at these hospital errors as, a patient was given the wrong medication, or they died of I'm not even sure if they would count, for example, someone dying from complications of surgery. That may not even enter the picture.
They might not conclude that that was an error. They would just possibly categorize it as an unforeseen negative circumstance, possibly right, having to do with the initial condition of the patient, rather than any kind of misstep by the practitioners or the hospital.
Well, you're missing another point, Janet, is that perhaps the error was doing the surgery in the first place when it was not needed. The American Medical Association reported years back that about 50% of bypass operations were unnecessary. So that's just one operation. I wonder how many cholecystectomies, meaning removal of the gallbladder, are absolutely necessary, and how many people have complications from that surgery. The assumption that every surgery done is absolutely necessary, people have to think about. That's why I say get second opinions, find out what's going on. Now, the CDC says in 2013, 611,000 people in the United States died of heart disease, 585,000 died of cancer, and about 150,000 died of chronic respiratory disease. And remember, we just said 250,000 died from medical errors. So that's where it fits in between cancer and respiratory diseases. And the reason why this is important is, since they don't track deaths from medical errors, there really isn't enough attention being paid to that component of healthcare, because it's not being tracked, so it's not being reported. And I guess you go into the hospital at your own peril. That's why it's so important to, take as much steps as you can to stay out of the hospital. And then, get second opinions, unless it's a real emergency and you don't have an opportunity for a second opinion. But a lot of times, I'll give you other examples. I see people going for knee replacements, for hip replacements that may or may not be necessary, going for back surgery that may or may not be necessary. So it's just something to, think about. Because, people do those things because they're in pain and are hoping to get relief, but a lot of times they're disappointed with the outcome. Looks like we're up on another break. When we come back, we have another report. This is something that needs a lot of attention, and that's about the fact that too many people still take unneeded antibiotics. That's about 1 in 3 prescriptions found to be unnecessary. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Institute of Advanced Medicine introduces holistic and comprehensive ways to maintain your health, maintain your energy and immunity, your flexibility and your wellness. The team of specialists at the Institute of Advanced Medicine offer all the services to enhance and support all categories of function, health, and well-being. You can call 954-748-4991 to make an appointment today. 954-748-4991. Current medical treatment addresses problems and symptoms when your ship of health has gone aground, hit the shoals of disease, so to speak. Now, advanced medical testing helps to guide you through the stormy seas of disease. The information from high-tech lab tests such as Doctor's Data, Spectracell, Cleveland Heart Lab, Access, Health Diagnostics Laboratory, and Genova. These advanced tests assist you and your doctor to navigate the treacherous waters of disease development. Call 754-216-2332 to find out more, or visit amtcenters.com.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. With me is Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And we've covered a lot of different topics today. And the point of it all is to try and help you make better decisions for yourself, from the food you choose to eat, from the water you choose to drink, from the infections you're exposed to, and I think it bears repeating about that hepatitis C now being the number one cause of infectious disease death. And part of the reason is people need to be checked for hepatitis C, because some of the symptoms can be as vague as just not feeling yourself, or little depression. I'm getting old, or I'm feeling tired. So I think you're the level of suspicion has to be raised. And but this brings me to the reason why I brought in ultraviolet therapy to the practice. There are so many infectious diseases people are exposed to that can contribute to those types of symptoms, and yet the routine lab work that's done doesn't pick up anything. And then doctors say, oh, you're just depressed, and they give you an antidepressant when perhaps you have an underlying infectious disease, and they're totally missing it. And then the patient just goes along in poor health because the right treatment wasn't initiated. So sometimes there is no right treatment. We don't have drugs to treat viral illnesses, but the ultraviolet blood therapy is very effective in that department. So that's why I brought it in. It's effective against so many types of infections, as well as just helping your own body's immune system rise up to the task of improving the health of your body. Now, here's another problem, and I think this sort of exemplifies that. You go to a doctor, he may or may not know what's wrong with you, and he says, here's an antibiotic. And they say now that nearly one-third of antibiotics prescribed in the United States are not appropriate for the conditions being treated, probably because they're giving it to a person with a viral infection. You know, most of the time you go to a doctor with that respiratory tract infection, it has a viral etiology, not a bacterial cause. And, you know, you're given an antibiotic because the doctor doesn't know what to do for you, or he has nothing to do for you. So their concern here is interesting. So their concern, all these antibiotics being prescribed unnecessarily are fueling the rise of antibiotic-resistant bacteria. Not to mention all the antibiotics used in raising livestock. I think that's where a lot of these bacteria antibiotic-resistant bacteria are coming from. So you have now this antibiotic-resistant bacteria. It infects about 2 million Americans a year and kills 23,000 every year. I think gives another reason to consider ultraviolet therapy as a treatment, because the bacteria, the viruses, the fungi are not immune to the effects of the ultraviolet therapy. So most of the time it comes up, you know, when you go to the doctor with a respiratory condition, colds, bronchitis, sore throats, sinusitis, ear infections, it's not going to respond to an antibiotic. You know, most of the time you get better on your own despite taking an antibiotic. And when it comes to respiratory conditions, about half of them, half those antibiotic prescriptions are unnecessary. You know, what would be a better choice, and I'll let Janet get into this a little bit. There are a lot of natural herbal remedies that can help strengthen your immune system and fight off these types of infections. I'm sure you talk about that a lot, Janet.
I do, and just a little earlier in the show, I was talking about anecdotal information with regard to olive leaf extract, and someone who is using olive leaf extract to specifically address a viral infection, one of the things that they must consider is to look for the standardization. So you want the whole herb as well as the standardized extract, and you're looking for the content of oleuropein. And in addition to the olive leaf extract, it's critically important, in my opinion, to maintain a very highly supported microbiome. So very high quality probiotic, one that is containing a number of different strains. In my opinion, it isn't so critically important to have the super high content that some of the probiotic manufacturers are offering, but rather to have a very comprehensive profile of beneficial types of probiotics and to use those probiotics at several times all throughout the day. And then there is from Kyolic a liquid garlic extract that I talk to people about, telling them that it does taste absolutely terrible. However, it is so extremely effective against viral, fungal, and bacterial illnesses. So there are a number of very good choices for people to access in the health food stores. Don't forget, using high-quality water is an important approach as well. Using an alkalizing approach to your water, either with bicarbonate of soda or lemon juice or possibly apple cider vinegar, any of those are going to create an alkaline background environment. The bacteria don't necessarily care for the alkaline environment, and by just that very gentle change, you minimize the ability of the bacteria to proliferate.
Janet, a good point for people to consider is if you're sick, you have to ask yourself, why did I get sick in the first place? I think that's a major question. So some of the things you can do to strengthen your immune system, make sure you get enough sleep. That's number one. You have to realize that excessive alcohol consumption and sugar consumption weaken your immune system. That may be just predisposing you to getting sick.
I speak I speak to so many people who are doing fruit smoothies, and I don't think that they're acknowledging how much sugar they're exposing themselves to on a regular basis with those fruit smoothies. And that's why I put together the Jana Juice. It has all of the super fruits, but you swallow it in a capsule, and you don't have to expose your body to the sugar that may suppress how your immune system is able to respond to bacteria, viruses, any pathogenic microorganism. Dr. Slavin, I just want to let everybody know that I'm here at Greenlands 2000 North Federal Highway in Delray Beach, and I will be here from 11 to 2 helping people choose the right supplements, discussing their diets, how to support their good health with supplements and diet.
Now, I just want to, in a couple seconds remaining, in 2010, Levaquin was the best-selling antibiotic in the United States. There are now more than 2,000 lawsuits from patients who had suffered severe reactions after taking it, including death. So you really have to don't take taking antibiotics lightly and do more to keep yourself healthy. And, of course, never a death or even a side effect associated with ultraviolet blood treatments. I'd like to thank all the listeners. Don't forget, Natural Doc Radio is here every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Jana Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Bye-bye, everybody.
Listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.